the great golfer Arnold Palmer. He was talking about the Masters he was playing in 1961. He was winning that tournament. He was on the last hole. He teed his ball up, hit the shot, hit it right in the fairway, right where he wanted it at. On the way to the ball, the crowd was over here, and one of his friends was in the crowd, and they motioned for him to come over. And so Arnold Palmer went over to his friend and reached out and shook his hand. His friend smacked him on the back and said, "You got it, you got it. You're a one-stroke leading everybody. You've got it." But while he was shaking his hand, Arnold Palmer knew that he made a bad mistake. And the mistake that he had made was he lost his focus. He lost his focus. He took his eye off the ball. He did everything he could. He went up to get focused. He hit the ball in the fairway, but only hit it into a sand trap. Hit it out of the sand trap, hit it over the green, and kind of ruffled in the rough over there. Went to putt it, missed his putt, and he ended up losing the Masters that year. All because he lost his focus. And I believe most, if not all, of our failures as Christians can be teed up on this thought, can be blamed on this. We lose our focus. All of our failures, most of our failures, can be lined up with the thought that we have lost our focus and taken our eyes off of Jesus. When we look in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, it's a story of Peter walking on the water. I love this story. It says in verse 28, it says, "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come and walk on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink." Why did he begin to sink? He took his eyes, he took his focus off of the Savior, off of Jesus. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me?" Hope got Peter into the boat. Trust held him up. Fear sank him. Everything hinged on what he was focused on. If he was focused on the Savior or if he was focused on the storm, I pray that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I pray that we keep looking into Jesus' eyes as a church and keep our focus on Him. Looking into the eyes of Jesus, we find hope. John Ortenberg said it this way: "Hope is the fuel human heart runs on." Hope is the fuel that human heart runs on. That's why hope is the reason young couples like Trent and Marie are going to stand in front of the church and hold each other's hands and say, "For better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, I do. I do." Hope is the reason we keep bringing babies into a fallen world. Isn't that right, Kylie and Wyatt? Isn't that right, these babies coming in? Hope is the reason why we have hospitals. Hope is the reason why we have universities. Hope is the reason we have therapists. Hope is the reason we have consultants. Hope is the reason why the Cincinnati Reds go to spring training. Yes. Who do you like, Karen? The Reds. There you go. Hope is the reason why NASCAR drivers get in their cars every Sunday. And hope is the reason Mark Fugate picks up a golf club and goes to the golf course. Just maybe this next swing will get it. Paul wrote it like this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." When we have a renewing of our thinking and we have hope, it changes everything. Hope creates your attitude. Hope shapes your emotions. Hope governs your behavior. Hope influences your immune system. How about that? It all is developed on hope. And we as Christians, we have hope. We have hope. There was an older gentleman in the church that would correct me. He said, it's not hope, it's the assurance. We have the assurance. That reminds me of the old song, this world's not my home, I'm just passing through. Why? Because we have the assurance of heaven. I'm so grateful for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. How about you? Paul also said in 1 Timothy 1:1, this letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ appointed by the command of God, our Savior, in Christ Jesus, who gives us what? Who gives us hope. Who gives us hope. Looking into the eyes of Jesus, I find hope. Looking into the eyes of Jesus, I also find purpose. It's been said, without God, life has no purpose. Without purpose, life has no meaning. And without meaning, life has no hope. Rick Warren said that. Our purpose in this life is to run the race for our Heavenly Father, to win His approval. And when we do that, we'll fulfill our purpose in life. I have a lot of people say, I don't know what my purpose is in life. And they struggle to find that purpose in their life. I would say, first of all, you need to pray. And here's what you need to pray. You need to pray that God would open a door today. Today. This week. That God would open a door today, this week, for me to walk through. God, I want a door to walk through today, tomorrow, this week. Give me a door to walk through this week. And as you pray that prayer, when that door opens, because it will, you walk through it. Peter's purpose on this day was to walk on water. That's what his purpose was on that day. It was down the road a little while when Peter's purpose changed for the day. Matter of fact, he preached a sermon and thousands of people come forward and accepted the Christ and was baptized. I say walk through the doors you have open for you today to find your purpose. I love the song we sang, the new song. I hadn't heard that, Mark, Karen. I hadn't heard that yet. Miracles happen when you move. Miracles happen when you move. And I believe that. Maybe God's prompting you to take some time to listen to somebody. Maybe God's prompting you to be kind to somebody, to be generous to somebody. We give Peter a hard time. Derek, we always give Peter a hard time. He gets out on the water and he loses faith and he starts to sink. And we talk about that one failure. But you know, Derek, he was the one that listened. He was the one that stepped out of the boat. He was the one that showed his faith. Peter was the one who knew what it was to walk on water. Only people I know that know how to walk on water was Peter and Jesus. I think the biggest failure in this story is all the guys back in the boat because they were given the opportunity to walk on water and they turned it down. Maybe the greatest failures are the ones that say, you know what, I'm going to not use my God-given talent because I'm afraid. Maybe the greatest failures are the ones that refuse to step out in faith. Maybe the failures are the ones that says, I'll let somebody else step out and I'll watch them and I'll evaluate them while they're stepping out of the boat. Let me say, God has a purpose for your life and God wants you to step out and move in a good direction. Proverbs 16:4 says it like this. The Lord has made everything for His own purposes. The Lord has made everything for His own purposes. Looking into the eyes of Jesus, we find peace. This week, we haven't seen a lot of peace in our nation. This week, more than 60 million residents of U.S. cities have been under curfews. As our cities have, in some cases, have been burned, buildings and different things as the protests went on. Here in Indiana, we've seen protests in Indianapolis. This is what this was about. We also seen a large number, I believe it was mostly peaceful in Bloomington and maybe here in Bedford coming today in Orleans. And we pray that those were peaceful protests. In St. Louis, fireworks went off in front of the police officers as they tried to bring order about that city. But my favorite, Darcy, I loved your illustration. I loved the little boy that prayed with the police officers. And I found this picture. It was in Nashville, Tennessee. Officer Hopkins was praying with protesters. And I thought that was neat. I love that picture. But let me say, our nation needs peace right now. Washington, D.C. is not going to bring us peace. Washington, D.C. is not going to bring us peace. And focusing on new legislation, I don't believe is going to bring us peace. What's going to bring us peace is when the church reaches out to a lost community and brings them into hand-to-hand to God and say, hey, here is the Lord. When we lift the name of Jesus up and we bring people into a relationship with the Lord, they will know true peace, not this superficial peace that people are wanting. I love it when it says here in verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? Do you have peace or are you sinking? Peter's faith brought him about peace. It's kind of like when you were a child, as a dad, you've probably done this. You grab a hold of your child's bicycle seat and you're running them along. And as long as you have a hold of that bicycle seat, that child has peace. They have a little confidence. They're pedaling those pedals. But at the moment you give them that little, and they feel it, you give them a little push because you want them to be successful, their heart starts beating really fast. They don't have a lot of peace. This is like Peter. He was sinking. Jesus reached down. He grabbed him. He steps up. Can you imagine the peace he had walking back to the boat? Because here he is. I can see Jesus having his hand on his back. And give, why'd you have so little faith, son? I had you the whole time. At that point in time, I can see the peace. Faith brings us peace. I pray that you have the kind of peace that you can have peace in the middle of a storm. I pray that you have the kind of peace from the inside out, the kind of peace that brings you to Jesus in the midst of a storm. Get a hold of this point. Jesus called Peter out of the boat. Jesus didn't call Peter out of the boat to sink. He called Peter out of the boat to walk on water. And I believe if he calls us out of the boat, God wants to keep us on top. I believe if God's calling you out of the boat, he's going to keep you on top. God wants to lead our families to the top. God wants to lead our youth to the top, Derek, Darcy. God wants to lead this church, his church. He wants to lead it to the top. He wants it to be successful. He doesn't want us to sink, but he wants us to rise to the top. And our faith in these times should bring us peace. I was reading a prayer written by St. Patrick, many centuries ago. It says it like this. I rise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eyes to look before me, God's ears to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me. Christ is with me, Christ is before me, Christ is behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right and Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down and Christ when I sit up, Christ when I rise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eyes of everyone who sees me, Christ in the ears of everyone who hears me, I arise today. I pray that for us, that Christ will be about our whole being. Our Jesus wants us to have hope. And the only way you're going to have hope is by accepting Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior and following his plan for your life, making him number one. Christ offers us purpose in life. Life has no purpose unless you are in Christ. Let me say, all of us at times need a little more peace. And Christ offers us peace when we put our faith in Him. Let's pray.